This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
This weekend, Arts Centre Melbourne hosts a show that invites kids to travel to the depths of the seven seas and meet some of the world's most amazing marine reptiles. That sounds like fun.
We've got a few of them in here.
There's a jellyfish in here now, actually. Earth's prehistoric aquarium is an action performance that will take kids on a quest to the bottom of the ocean. And joining us in the studio is the director of the show, Scott Rye. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, I thought there was a spelling mistake. You call it Earth. But it's E-R-T-H.
It used to be environmentally recycled theatre, and then we just got lazy and just shortened it to one syllable.
I like that. Environmentally responsible theatre.
Recycled, responsible.
Wow, that's okay. I mean, everything in my life is recycled. My jokes, I mean, my looks, you know, everything. This is how we do this show. It's just recycled. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Scott, you started out in Ballarat in 1990, is that correct? So you've been going for a little while now.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of work in museum environments as opposed to the traditional theatre.
I guess, you know, like we actually work in lots and lots of different places. It's just that museums seem to be places that had all these wonderful artefacts and information that we wanted to get access to. So we kind of sucked up to a lot of cool museum directors and everything, particularly Melbourne, actually. Back in the day, there was a fantastic director. He was a guest, George F. McDonald. He's a Canadian anthropologist. He was fantastic, and I've made really good friends with him, and that gave us access to a whole lot of really cool things.
That's really good, because it's important to get out the back and have a look at the bones you don't normally see, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
You said a paleontologist, did you say?
Paleontologists are the people that study fossils and
okay. So it's not dinosaurs. Just dinosaurs, it could be a fossil of anything.
Yeah, so, you know, like a lot of people think that the things that swim under the ocean and the things that fly in the air are also dinosaurs, but actually dinosaurs only existed on land.
Okay.
Oh, so that...
So marine reptile, prehistoric marine reptiles are what swam in the oceans.
Yes.
And, you know, dimorphodons and pteranodons are what flew in the air.
So that Jurassic Park made 18 movies and they lied in every one of them. I mean, basically, they made 27 of those movies and they still kept lying to me. Yeah. No, I'm sure I saw a dinosaur chasing someone in the ocean the other day. Yeah.
A mosasaur.
But hang on, we're here to talk about the important work, not the shit that comes out of Hollywood. So one of your previous shows was about Dinosaur Zoo and the kids got involved on stage. Patting the dinosaur puppets. Do the kids get swept away in the fantasy or they think like the dinosaurs are real? Do they run away screaming?
Dinosaur Zoo is a really charming and hilarious show, and it's touring all over the world all the time. And part of it the thing that makes it so good is that we are brutally honest with the children. And at the very start of the show, we go, dinosaurs are extinct. Everything you're going to see today is a puppet. But then thanks to television and your short attention spans, you'll have forgotten
everything I said. Yeah.
And they buy into that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of crying, a lot of screaming. Oh. And the highlight of the show is that we convince a child to stick their head into the mouth of a T-Rex.
Oh, yeah, but they're not scary.
Oh, wow.
Those ones with the little arms, aren't they?
Yeah, but they've got big teeth. I would have nightmares as a kid.
Huge mouth. And the record so far is 9 children. So,
it's 8 or 9 children?
No, no.
In the mouth.
A child will go to do the stunt and then chicken out. And then you have to pick another child and another child. And the record is 9.
There's at Sydney Museum, they have like the dinosaur bit. And they actually have a bit where you get to start at a race and it goes ready, set, go. And you start running and the dinosaur chases you and it sees how far you can get down the track before it eats you. And we didn't say to my son, because we were screaming as a 6-year-old, go, run, it's behind you, it's got you. And he just fell on the ground and cried.
It's so good.
Now you're going to be traumatised about dinosaurs. But I saw the Jurassic Park film, the latest one, a few weeks ago. I was pretty disappointed with it, I must admit.
But really?
I was. I don't know. It just seems like it's just the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. But it is fantasy. You know, a lot of people take it a little bit too seriously and go, oh, you know, Utah rat or what was the velociraptors were never that big, blah, blah, blah. They've taken artistic license. You go, yes, because it's a fantasy. It's not
How often do we find a complete skeleton? I mean, most of the times we'd be guessing, wouldn't we? Like, we go, oh, maybe that goes with that, or
put it together. That's the great thing about paleontology. It's such a malleable science. Like, it changes all the time.
So you could basically lie and still get paid at your job, and you'd be fine and go, oh, yeah, I'll just say, you know, you had three legs, boom.
There's this great dinosaur called the Irritator.
I've got one of those.
And it was a fossil that was found by kind of private sort of bone collectors, and they plastered it up to make it look like something else. And then when it eventually arrived at a museum, they had to pick all the plaster off it, so they called it the Irritator.
The Irritator.
So, Scott, there's an education component to your show, clearly.
Yeah.
And we all love the dinosaurs, especially as kids. Do they ask you complicated questions?
Oh, you know, not really. And sometimes the really smart ones do. Like, there are some that come to the show who are totally devoted to dinosaurs and have some very complex questions.
And they've sat in the car, you know, with their dad going, I'll ask him this question, that'll stump him.
That'll get him wrong. But then, you know, yesterday, like, you know, what question do you have? The question is, I love dinosaurs.
Uh-oh.
It's like, oh, what a great question.
So we all love them too, as long as they're fluffy and cuddly and not living in this century.
So your new show, Earth's Prehistoric Aquarium, it's going to take audiences to the depths of the ocean. What can we expect to come along?
It is definitely a companion to Dinosaur Zoo, and there's, you know, the show starts in a very similar vein as Dinosaur Zoo. It's funny, you know, the hosts sort of play off each other, and we show the audience a bunch of really cool creatures that appear to be inside a big tank. But the tank crashes, it breaks, it bursts, and then the whole show changes, and the audience then are at the bottom of the ocean, and all the creatures can swim out off the stage and over the audience. So
this sounds really good. Is this on after dark so I can have a few cocktails before I arrive, or is this a morning thing?
I would love to do adult-only shows. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do well in the morning, as you can tell.
Now you've got something you've bought in. It's flashing. It's got LED lights changing colours. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So that's a bioluminescent jellyfish. These live at what's called the midnight zone, which is the place that only three people in the world have ever been, and only one of them was a celebrity, James Cameron.
He
went right down where there is no light.
So he could make another shit movie.
and these creatures use bacteria or bioluminescent bacteria in order to create light without the sun. And this is how they communicate. And there is so many of them, as well as insects in the world, that use bioluminescence that it's the most common form of language in the world.
So it's like fireflies.
Yeah,
because I've seen that they do like language. They
so
talk.
It's pulsating. It's like,
so this is definitely an artistic representation of a bioluminescent jellyfish. But you know, down in the ocean, the way that they would communicate would be visually rather than orally.
We'll get a photo of this and we'll throw it on our social media.
It's really good because, I mean, I went to a doctor about that, didn't I? I mean, my glowed and it's, yeah, they didn't say all those nice things.
Well, it is throbbing as well, isn't it?
Oh, I tell you what, yeah. And it's not even 9 o'clock yet.
kids are getting more and more absorbed by staring at screens these days. Wherever they go, they're watching endless videos and YouTube, etc. So what sort of reactions do you get from the kids after watching a live show like this?
I reckon the fact that we have created a very visceral experience that's is also tactile, that is immersive. I think that learning happens in a very different way to say learning from screens.
Right.
I'm not an expert, so I can't really say whether I'm right or wrong, but I definitely think
I've raised three children. They're all adults now. If you take them to theatre and they get to sit there and they absorb it, I tell you, they walk out for the next month and all they want to talk about is shows and making and doing. You sit there and watch a TV show, they turn it off, they walk away, what's next?
Yeah.
I promise you, theatre, for people that have brought children up, theatre is, it opens their imagination. I think anyone that's got a kid, even if you're not a dad, I mean, you're an uncle, take them along to this show, get them out there and actually introduce them, and a bit of fun.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think you did it. Isn't 2013 you created a puppet show for adults, was it?
We did a show called Murder.
Murder.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Are there any plans for any more adult shows?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we did a show last year called Bird Fox Monster, which was three adults with mental disability or neural diversity, and we created this show that was a dining experience, and 30 people sat down on a table, and the show happened on the table, under the table, around the table, and the performers wore masks. So for an hour and a half, this event happened, and nobody knew that the artists had any kind of disability at all. And at the end, they took their masks off and everybody was in shock.
Wow. See, that's theatre.
Yeah, isn't
it?
I agree.
Getting involved, and that's the great thing of Melbourne. You live in the other stupid states in this country, and what do? You know, we close the pub at 11, we give you more pokey. You come to Melbourne and you can actually go and see real theatre. We're about to go into the Fringe Festival. There's so much happening.
So much happening. You've also brought in, there's a creature. It's like a big, looks like a skull or something.
What's so that's Dunkleosteus.
Dunkleosteus.
It's named after a paleontologist from Cleveland, Ohio, called Mr. Dunkle. And I don't know.
It's a
and osteo, we're meaning bone. So Dunkleosteus is a fish that existed during the Devonian period, which is, millions and millions of years ago. It grew up to 6 metres long. It doesn't have teeth. It has these armoured bone plates that sort of self-sharpen every time it opens and closes its mouth. And we added it to the show in Melbourne because after Melbourne, we're taking the show to America for 2 years. We needed to put something that was a bit American into
the show. A bit American.
Yeah, just to keep them happy.
Well, look, I got to wear it. What'd you call it? A drunkiosis?
Dunkleosis.
Oh, drunky. I thought it was mine. Yeah, I feel a bit hungover still. Like, drunkiosis.
We'll take a photo with Tom and put it up on our socials to have a look at. So Earth's Prehistoric Aquarium is on at Art Centre Melbourne. It's in the Fairfax Studio this weekend with shows 11 a.m, 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. For tickets, you can go to artscentremelbourne.com.au. It's artscentremelbourne.com.au. Scott, thanks for joining us this
Absolute
morning at Joy.
Pleasure.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.